Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Well, do you remember much about your life and how it was like at age 9? If you're like me, it's mostly vague recollections of Legos, Tonka trucks, and Yogi Bear reruns. But for our feature interview today, age 9 was the first time he appeared on screen as an actor. And when he was on set, that took him on a career path that would take him to stardom. Kirk Cameron became a television and a film actor, celebrated for his star turn on the hit ABC comedy Growing Pains. But it was an encounter with Jesus that transformed him from a young man on his way to a man on a mission. Kirk has gone on to act in and produce family films and documentaries like Saving Christmas, Mercy Rule, Unstoppable, Monumental, and Fireproof. He's also a speaker, an author, and a family man. And Kirk is keynoting the annual dinner of the Minnesota Family Council on Tuesday evening, May 31st in Minneapolis. And Kirk, we are sure excited to have you here with us today, sir. How are things for you?
Well, things are going great with an introduction like that. You know, that read like a trailer for a superhero. I'm feeling great.
Well, we wanted to do our best for you, Kirk. We really are excited to have you here. And tell us a little bit about how the family is doing, sir. And have we got the count right? Is it 6 kids now?
Yeah, we have 6 kids. That's right.
And I imagine that keeps you fairly busy.
Oh, really busy. Yeah, we have six kids, 3 boys, 3 girls. So it's kind of like the Brady Bunch. Only we don't have Alice the Maid and Sam the Butcher. But it's a full house. We got lots going on, and it's great. Our hands are full of good things.
Absolutely. Well, before we talk a little bit about the dinner and the message you'll be bringing, I just want to take the opportunity to say this, because you are a very patient guy with your fans as a high-profile individual, and I know this personally because I once yelled at you through the closing doors of an elevator in Dallas, Texas, and all I could think to say to you, Kirk, at that time was, is that Mike Seaver from Growing Pains, of course, your character name? And you got a big smile on your face as you said to me, as the elevator doors closed, it could be. And I just wanted to thank you for being a good sport. I imagine at times it's challenging to deal with the fame, but you were certainly a good sport that day, sir.
Oh, that's funny. Sometimes people will ask me, you know, are you that guy from that show? And I'll just tell them, you know, yeah, I am. What show is it? But it's just, you know, they're thinking it's Silver Spoons, Family Ties, they're thinking it's the Cosby Show. I'm thinking, so I hope me giving you less than a definite answer is taken in the right spirit.
It certainly was. It's a story that has been told many times, and so even though you didn't know, you were bringing mirth and smiles to people. Now, Kirk, what's the message that you'll be bringing to the Minnesota Family Council dinner, sir, and what can people look forward to hearing from you if they have the chance to be there?
Well, thank you for asking. I'm excited to get up to Minnesota. Don't get me wrong, the weather here in California is fantastic, but I am excited to get to Minnesota because I love what the Minnesota Family Council is all about. They're about the kind of values, the kind of faith, the kind of character, and the kind of engagement with the culture that is so necessary and essential in our country right now. So they're helping to pass laws. They're helping to get people engaged, you know, get up off the couch, get up off the pew in their church, and actually put feet to their faith. And I'm going to be there for an evening of inspiration and discussion about where we are as a country, where we are as a church, where we are as families in America, and what needs to be done. I'm hoping to open the eyes of some and to empower them with some information and inspiration and engage them in the process of reviving and bringing renewal to our nation in the areas of faith and family and our civic responsibilities, specifically voting and public office, and talking about questions like, should Christians be involved in politics? You know, should we just stay out of those things as Christians? These are the things that are being discussed at the dinner table at my house and likely at your house. And many of us are scratching our heads thinking, how in the world, as a free republic, did we get into the position we're in now, where, you know, the presidential race appears to resemble, you know, an episodic reality show. You never know what crazy situation or phrase is going to come up next. And you wonder, is this real, or are we living in the Twilight Zone?
Amen. Amen. Well, that's the voice of Kirk Cameron, a man who's been shining a light through his faith in Jesus as an actor and a producer since age 9 in films like Fireproof, Monumental, and the celebrated sitcom Growing Pains, as a TV host and an outspoken, really, evangelist for the Christian faith as well. It's interesting that you say it that way, because I think people are wondering exactly that, and you described the presidential selection process very charitably, I think, Kirk, but not to steal your thunder from the dinner at all, but what are some of your thoughts on that? So many Christians, I feel like, we almost think of the political realm and our faith as separate boxes. Are they, in fact, separate boxes, or should we be getting out there and be getting involved?
That's such a great question, and it's one that we all owe it to our kids to start thinking about and discussing with our friends. One of the best ways to know how to move into the future is by looking to the past. You can look at history as a bit of a news program that is unbiased. You look at the past, you can see that there is the law of cause and effect that is in play. And what you'll find is that God has a set of laws that are in place, like the law of gravity. You don't break the law of gravity. The law of gravity breaks you. If you don't think so, just jump off the top of a tall building, and you'll see that God's laws are never mocked. And there's other laws that he's put in place. These are moral laws, ethical, spiritual laws. And what we'll find is that those who keep covenant with God win. Those who break covenant with God lose. You can't commit adultery and continue to have a strong and healthy marriage. It just doesn't work. You can't lie and steal and have trusted friendships and alliances with people. You can't break God's laws. They will break you. And one of the laws of leadership is that when the righteous, when good people, when those who love God and love their neighbor are leading the way, the people are happy. We know that from the scriptures. But when those who are opposed to what is right and good and the ways of love and kindness and freedom are in charge, people become miserable. And so the question, should Christians be involved in politics? Of course they should. Of course they should. In fact, our very first Supreme Court Chief Justice, John Jay, said that it is the duty of Americans to select Christians for their leaders. Why? Because the very first tenets of Christianity is to love God and to love your neighbor. These are the great commandments. These are people of character and faith and love and compassion. Those are who you want leading you, not people of pride and arrogance and foolishness, right? So if we want blessing in our nation, it starts with understanding that biblical wisdom is the highest form of love toward everyone. And so we want people with biblical wisdom in our positions of leadership, not just as president, but as moms and dads in our families, as pastors in our churches, as mayors and sheriffs, and as businessmen and teachers and coaches, and in the arts and entertainment, and in every sector of society. We want good people who love God and love their neighbor. And so we must get involved, because if we don't, others will. Mm. It's just kind of like, the forces of physics. You create a vacuum somewhere, something else will come into that vacuum and fill it. And if there's a vacuum of Christian leadership, there are plenty of other groups with plenty of other different ideas that will come fill that vacuum.
Absolutely. Well said, Mr. Kirk Cameron, with us here on the road on Faith Radio. And you can hear more of that message Tuesday evening, May 31st in Minneapolis at the annual dinner of the Minnesota Family Council. You can also learn more about it at mfc.org/Cameron. And Kirk, as we take a little bit of a retrospective look, when you look back on your emergence onto the acting scene, so young at age 9, did you realize even from that early of an age that you were doing what you wanted to make into your career?
No, it's a great question. I don't know who knows at 9 years old what they're going to do. All the time. I turn on Little Big Shots with Paul Harvey, and you know you see 4-year-old kids who are phenomenally talented and
right.
You can pretty much guess their career path. But not for me. I never wanted to be an actor. In fact, I wanted to grow up, go to college, and become a surgeon. The idea of becoming an actor never occurred to me until I was probably 17 or 18 years old. After a few years of being on growing pains, I got started when my mom's friend suggested that she take her kids to an agent, have an interview, and it worked out well for us. I started working in the industry, doing some TV commercials and other things. Then I got the part of Mike Seaver on Growing Pains, and after a few years, I said, you know, I'm graduating high school. It's time to go to college. And I thought, well, I go to college so that I can get a great education and find a career where I can, you know, make a living and an impact.
Yeah.
And I'm already doing that. So college is going to have to wait a little while. And the acting and producing thing just never stopped. It was a train that left the station, and I've been on it for the last 20 years. I think it's been probably more than that now. And I'm doing things that I'm passionate about, and I think are making a difference. And so I'm gonna keep going until God closes the door and opens up a new one.
Oh, absolutely. Making a difference indeed. And you've talked about your faith journey in those younger years as well. And basically, you've said you were a pretty dedicated atheist until you came to face to face with your first gospel message just as a teenager, right?
Yeah, that's right. I have a friend who is also a former atheist. I like to refer to myself as a recovering atheist. And I love to question things and love to doubt assumptions. But as Charles Spurgeon said, the one thing that really foiled his unbelief and his doubt was when he tried to be consistent in his doubts and doubt everything, including his doubts. And once you start to doubt your doubts, then you realize that you've got to put your faith in something, even if it's your doubts. And that's what the atheist has to do. He's got to put his faith in his doubt about the existence of God. And that's a faith that he must hold on to blindly in spite of all of the evidence in order to remain a devout and religious atheist. So for me, I would tell you that when I was about 17 years old, I was working on Growing Pains, and someone took me to a church, and a faithful pastor preached the gospel. It got my attention. I started asking questions and started receiving intelligent answers to difficult questions like, how did the world begin? How do you know the Bible's true? If there is a God, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? How do you know Christianity is the right religion out of all the religions in the world? And when I started getting good, intelligent answers, I at the same time was being confronted with the fact that if there is a God in a heaven, I knew that because of my attitude and my life, as I had chosen to live it, would keep me from knowing this God and going to be with God after I died. And I wanted to start never praying as an atheist. God, if you're there, would you please show me and would you help me understand, what you want me to know and make me the person you want me to be. And that began my humble exploration of the Bible and Christianity. And I came to the conclusion and was powerfully persuaded that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God who was raised from the dead. And I wanted to follow him as the Lord of my life. And I kept going to church and reading the Bible. And, you know, we're here 30 years later, and now you and I are talking about all this. So I lost my faith in atheism, at 17 years old and replaced it with the truth. And now I've got my eyes wide open.
I feel like you've given your testimony a few times. Is that fair to say?
Well, I have a few times. I'm sorry if I'm rushing. I'm looking at the battery on my phone, and it looks like it's getting low. So I wanted to make sure I could get all that out before the battery cut off. But I'm near a power supply now, so I plugged in.
Oh, that's tremendous. No, and certainly not just the rapidity of it, but I mean the excellence of it, really. And so many of us, I think we feel a little bit challenged when we share our faith, but that's one thing that people have certainly said about you, and it's very true that you have been courageous in stepping up and sharing that faith. As we talk with Kirk Cameron, the actor, the producer here on the road for Faith Radio. And it strikes me, Kirk, that you were in a pretty unique position when you chose to follow Jesus, because most people who come to faith don't instantly obtain a national audience for how they begin to live out their Christian walk. But you were very upfront with your newfound beliefs and also very famous at that time. What were some of the unique challenges that you faced then, and also some of the unique opportunities?
Well, I think wisdom is wisdom tells us not to take a new believer and put him in the limelight and shine a spotlight on him. Scripture tells us that people even in the faith don't make them leaders right away. Because why? Well, you don't know if the roots are really gonna go down into the soil and the tree's gonna bear fruit. You gotta wait a while and see if it's genuine.
Sure.
Which makes it difficult for a lot of people, and I'm just thankful that God, He began a genuine work of faith in my heart and has been completing it, for a few decades now, and I'm so thankful for that. It wasn't just up like a rocket and down like a rock 6 months later.
Yeah.
Not anything that I've done, but because of what I believe God is doing in me. I'm so thankful for that. And my desire was never to be public and vocal and bold about my faith, as much as it was, I was just a guy in a fishbowl. And when I became a Christian, I understood that meant that you need to have integrity, which means all the parts of your life need to touch. You don't get to be a Christian on Sunday and then act like the devil on Monday.
Right.
Just because, well, you're a Hollywood actor and, hey, let's just, take this whole thing in moderation and let's not really honor the Lord in everything I do. I took it as, no, you need to be true blue all the way through. And so as I began to make different decisions as a teenager about relationships and professional decisions and wanting to honor God in what I was doing, people would take notice. Some people thought it made for a good story, a good controversy, whatever. And so then it would, it would show up in the news or in the tabloid or whatever. But it was never something that I've sought out to do. Even recently in recent things that have been in the news, these aren't things that I look to start. I'm not into, I don't walk around with a stick looking for the next hornet's nest to hit. I'm just somebody who's trying to live out my honest and sincere love for God and for other people. And when you do that, not everybody's down with that strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, while you were in that position and you describe how unique it was, who are the people that came alongside you specifically in terms of faith and just loving on you as a person and a young believer and really helped you to grow?
Well, it certainly was friends. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, although my mom, later I found out, did love God and went to church when she was young, just never really grew past a basic understanding of God and heaven and Jesus. But it was friends who took me to church, friends who gave me some good books to read, and then the authors of those books that I've never met who helped me to think through some things. One author and pastor made a good point when he said, some people will look at Christians and say, you guys believe this silly story that there's a God somewhere behind the clouds who had a special people that he called the Jews, and he told them that they were not allowed to eat shellfish. How silly. And then he reminded her, he says, yeah, but you atheists believe an even sillier story that says that our ancestors were selfish. And so if you want to talk about silly stories, you know, we can have a wrestling match here. But at the end of the day, our story actually makes sense of the world that we're living in, and yours doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful story, and it's a story that gives foundation and meaning to things like truth and beauty and goodness, whereas the atheist position doesn't. It gives a relativistic understanding of those terms, which ultimately make the world void of the very things we need in order to be able to live meaningful, significant lives. So that's all in the realm of philosophy, which has always been important to me. And then, you know, I look around the world and I see that Christianity has done more good for the world than any other ideology, and everything from science to the arts to hospitals and education rights for women and children. Before Christianity touches a civilization, all those things are at very low levels. And when the gospel comes, freedom comes, blessings come. And that's happened over and over and over throughout the centuries on every continent on the planet. And so I am more than convinced that that my faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of heaven and earth has been well placed.
Right. Kirk Cameron here with us on the road for Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas. And as our time quickly wanes away, Kirk, you've really had a broad spectrum of projects in recent years, from shining a light on the way faith and American history are intertwined, to strengthening families, to your continued work in apologetics and philosophy, as you've been talking about. But what are some of the real passions that rise to the top for you, so to speak, and are on your heart as you go forward?
That's right. Listen up, from Mike Sieber, the great philosopher. Get ready to write this down. Isn't it funny that people are even interested in what I have to say after all of these years? But how kind and gracious God's been to let me talk with you, Ryan, and know that people are listening. So the passions that are on my heart as a dad is to raise my 6 kids to know and love God. I want them to be part of the solution, not part of the problem, as we move into the future, which means we need to get off the defense as Christians and be on the offense. There are many people with plans to make this world into their own image, a secular utopian image, a world that is controlled by a certain ideology or religion. And as Christians, we know that, again, biblical truth and wisdom is the highest form of love and good for all people. And so I want my kids to be involved in that army of compassion and that army of truth, and to spread it over every inch of planet Earth until the knowledge of the glory of God fills the land just like the waters cover the sea. That's the plan, right? And so that's my big passion, to see that happen. That means I need to be loving my wife. It means I need to be devoted to God and work hard and pray.
That is the voice of Mr. Kirk Cameron. You've certainly heard of him before, the actor, the producer, and a man of great faith, a great family man, as we've been learning here today. And also, as he said, Mike Sieber, who has become the philosopher here on the road today. And Kirk is keynoting the annual dinner of the Minnesota Family Council Tuesday evening, May 31st in Minneapolis. And we do want to mention in closing, you can find all the info on the dinner at mfc.org/Cameron. There's also a special advanced ticket rate you can take advantage of right now. That's mfc.org/Cameron. And Kirk, it's been a real pleasure and a lot of fun hearing from you today, sir. Know you're a busy man. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you, and I'm really looking forward to getting up there. I hope Whoever is able to come can come. I'd love to meet as many people as possible up to Minnesota and just shake hands and hopefully, you know, engage in some meaningful discussions and provide some inspiration for the days ahead.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. And certainly as you continue to go forward, we just wish you the very best and keep up the great work, sir.
All right, Brian, thank you so much. You too.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.